It's time for Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ The Fan, featuring Colin McDonald and Chris Foley. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Breezy Point Resort, your holiday station store on Mill Avenue and Cross Lake, Maury's Market, Ernie's on Gull, The Tea Hive, Halverson Law Office, and the Legacy Courses at Craigan's. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com, sponsored by Mills GM. And now here's Chris Foley and Colin McDonald for Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, and streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Mills Ford and Mills GM, for that. And also available now at Podcast One. Mac with you along with Chris. Chris, another great week in golf. And it's not the biggest event in the world on the men's tour. JT Poston wins the Wyndham Championship, a long time championship. A few of the big names did not play, actually quite a few. But JT goes out and shoots a 62 on Sunday for a one-shot win in the regular season finale. And we were just talking off mic before we started. The drama involved late in the season with trying to get in that top 125, get yourself guaranteed into the FedEx playoffs, and a whole lot of other things as far as getting to play golf next year. And that was so fun. And guys are changing position. You know, every shot, guy goes from whatever, 126 down to 131, and then back up to 126. And then it's just, it's amazing.
You know, this last week or last couple weeks of the season, the drama at the back half of the leaderboard is more compelling than the leader that's themselves, really, in a lot of cases.
It's fun.
Yeah, there are so many. I mean, you know, when these guys are playing, it sounds a little overblown, but when these guys are playing for their livelihood, they're all millionaires, really. But I mean, you know, they're playing for their right to play next season when they're in that, you know, on that bubble from 125 to 150 and beyond. And gosh, this last week and last couple tournaments are so key for if you're in that position. And, you know, if you remember when we had Tom Rolfe on, who's Roberto Diaz's agent, and talking about, you know, Roberto was in that position and unfortunately finished 151st on the money list. But when you're on that bubble, the opportunities that you do and don't get just all around, from the opportunities to get to how many tournaments you get to play, what tournaments you get into, the endorsements that you get. There's so much riding on the line when it comes to this time of year that it's just compelling and great, great drama in golf.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Just as a for instance, like what Chris is talking about, right around, Pat Perez, who's very popular and kind of every man out there on the golf course with a little bit longer hair, maybe a little bit bigger belly. Won $1 million this year, $1,000,001, but he's 125th, and he's 2 points ahead of Wierzynski and Stefani, 4 points ahead of Streb. And that's like a guy missed a four-footer on the 72nd hole of some tournament 2 weeks ago, and now he's not in the top 125.
Well, it comes down to, you know, a shot or half a shot, and you know, you think back on, well, any round of golf, and a 3-footer you missed, or a ball you knocked in the water when you didn't want it. So I mean, your whole season. Guy like Pat Perez, who's, you know, he was injured, he came back, he won, you know, and here he's 125th. He's come off, you know, a couple of really good years of great play after some injuries and some setbacks. And, you know, he's right on that bubble. And that 125 number is huge because, one, you get into the first event of the FedEx Cup. It guarantees you basically unlimited starts the following year. So it's interesting stuff. It's fun.
Oh, yeah, it is fun. And the guys you kind of you root for along the way. Some guys have fallen by the boards a little bit. Bill Haas, who's won the FedEx Championship, is 140th. He hasn't had a good year. Probably injuries involved. Hasn't played as much. And I mean, good players down below 125. Obviously, they're all, you know, anybody in the top 200 players in the world is pretty darn good. Obviously, so But yeah, great drama. On the women's side of things, what a great British Open it was. Went out of nowhere. Hinako Shibuno from Japan has been playing on the women's Japanese tour. She's a rookie there, I think. Comes over and plays in her first LPGA event, a major, the Women's British Open at the Woburn Golf Club, and she wins. And they call her the Smiling Princess in Japan. That's the translation. She just goes out and fires a 66, 69, 67, 68, smiling the whole way, and under pressure, last group of the day, and in trouble, not in trouble, smiling with her caddy, joking around. And you were saying there was a little anecdotal, one of her big smiles.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, what a great attitude. If we could all play like that, we'd all play a lot better, I think. But, one of the times she was, she's over a shot and she's laughing and her caddy calls her off and, says, what's going on? She says, well, I was just thinking over the ball. If I shank this, it's going to go right in the crowd. Here she is, one shot lead, and she's laughing because she's afraid she might shank it.
Yeah, she was so fun. She is just going to energize things. I think she's a cute young girl and just a big splash out of nowhere. First LPGA great. Event and wins a major. That's like a there's a movie there somewhere. You know, we'll have to get to.
And that the ladies golf in Japan is huge. The ladies tour in Japan actually has more events than the men. I think they have 38 events on the ladies Japanese tour compared to like 24 for the men, and the men have less tournaments, but they play for the same amount of money. So it's ladies golf is more popular in Japan than the men's game is at the professional level. And she is a national hero this week.
Yeah, yeah. And every tour needs a superstar, fresh face once in a while. And it looks like she might be that for the LPGA. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons. Good guest coming up, Michael Kaiser. Chris, a friend of yours, and just taking the golf world by storm.
The Kaiser family. Yeah. His father, Mike Kaiser, is the founder of Bandon Dunes Resort. We're going to talk to Michael about Sand Valley in Wisconsin, close to us, and they're really I don't know if disruptors are the right word, but they're by far the most successful golf course developers in the last 15 to 20 years, and they're doing so many things so well. So it'll be fun to talk to them.
Matt Killian from the Brainerd Baxter Chamber will be here, along with Chuck Kletkatsky from Craigens. They'll be talking about the tour showcase coming up, a big event in our area within a couple of weeks as well. We'll be back with that on Lakes, Woods, and Irons.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, and streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com. Thanks to our friends at Mills GM and Mills Ford, and now available wherever podcasts are sold, or most of the time they're for free. So just look for Lakes, Woods, and Irons. You can find us on Podcast One, for instance. Chris, very special guest. You've been fortunate enough to play this golf course, and I'll let you handle the introductions.
Yeah, I want to introduce, welcome to the show, Michael Kaiser. Michael's the managing partner at Sand Valley Resort in Rome, Wisconsin, and his family is responsible for Bandon Dunes and Cabot Cliffs and so many of these great new golf courses that have come on board in the last 20 years. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on your show.
Michael, I had the opportunity to come over to Sand Valley and play in the summer solstice back in June, and it was funny when I was invited to that. I really didn't know what I was getting myself into, other than I was very excited to come and see Sand Valley. And the event was 72 holes of golf in one day walking, which I've had a lot of 36 hole days and an occasional 54 hole day, but never attempted to play 72 holes. That was quite an experience.
It was pretty warm, too, if I remember.
Yeah, it was a warm day.
High 70s, maybe even warmer.
Yeah, but it was a fantastic experience. I had heard great things about Sand Valley, and you guys have been open, almost 2 years now?
Yeah, we opened the first course in May of 2017.
Yeah, and I was, I had heard great things, but I was really blown away when I got there by how good it was. And tell us about the property and the golf courses.
Sure. The golf courses sit on an ocean of sand in central Wisconsin. That got there when an ice dam erupted in the Wisconsin Dells about 12,000 years ago, and the lake bed above that ice dam provided for all this sand. So much of our county and surrounding counties are sand, but on our property they bubble up into these beautiful sand dunes that you might not expect in central Wisconsin. So our three golf courses and the additional courses we're planning all sit, you know, on these prehistoric sand dunes in either a prairie or oak savanna setting. So that's the foundation for our golf.
So you currently have Old McDonald, or excuse me, Mammoth Dunes, the Sand Valley course, and then the Sandbox, which is your 17-hole par 3 golf course. And kind of tell us the difference in those courses and what they're about.
Sure. Sand Valley was the first golf course. As we said, it opened in May 2017. It plays through these, you know, really valleys of sand down in these lows that are surrounded by these 100-foot dunes of exposed sand. So that was the first, built by Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw. You know, really, even though it's not on the ocean, it is, you know, an inland, you know, links course. The routing was laid out so that golfers could play the ball on the ground. It's definitely meant to be a ground game here at Sand Valley. We keep our grass is lean and mean so that the ball can roll. Like in Scotland, it gets windy where you have a club or two of wind every day. So it's to the golfer's advantage to keep the ball low and under the wind and use the contours to get the ball close to the hole, which is different than, you know, traditional Parkland golf, which is more similar to throwing a dart at a dartboard.
Right.
More like lawn bowling along the ground. The second golf course, Mammoth Dunes, also, you know, emphasizes the need to get the ball rolling on the ground. Sand Valley is on big land. Mammoth Dunes is truly mammoth in every sense of the word. The topography is enormous. The fairways are wide, and the greens are the largest collection of 18 hole greens on the planet, bigger even than the old course at St. Andrews and Old McDonald in Oregon. So everything about it is mammoth.
It is.
Sandbox is a 17-hole par 3 golf course. It's really what the Scots might call a mashy golf course. So you're not hitting, you know, full-length 4-irons into greens. You're hitting 60 to 130-yard shots. However, you're hitting them to greens that are as big as any, you know, green on a typical golf course. So it's not, everything's not shrunken. The approaches are shorter, but any one of those greens could hold its own on any one of our golf courses. So that's a really fun way to play golf. The greens are maybe a little sportier than what we might put on a golf course, because it's easier to hit a wild green from 60 yards than it might be from 170. So we had a little more fun with some of the contours on the green. We encourage people to play in 8-somes or 12-somes. A lot of people play barefoot. It's just a fun place to go out and enjoy an hour and a half, you know, in the afternoon, you know, before dinner with your friends. So that's what we currently have on the ground, but we certainly have more coming.
The Sandbox was one of the coolest things about the whole property, I thought. And, you know, if you think about the size of it and the land it's built on, every community in Iowa and Minnesota and Wisconsin and the Midwest should have something like that in their city. And the what it would do to increase, you know, the game of golf and grow the game of golf would be incredible. And it's just so cool. I mean, you could literally play the course with a putter because of the ground, how it rolls, but you hit these great, there's so many, the shot value on the course is so good.
And in fact, every tee has a putting tee. The concept, when it started, I wanted to build a course that you would only play with your putter, so it's sort of 20 to 40 yard course. And the routing started that way, but Jimmy Craig, who laid out the routing, kept on finding tees to these greens that were further back. And he said, you know, Mike, look at this view. This is pretty good. How do we not build this tee? And I couldn't disagree. So over the course of the project, it grew into something much bigger, but we kept all of those original putter tees. So some people go out and just play the course with a cut with a putter, you know. And for younger people or people newer to the game, those putting tees are where you should start.
Right? Oh yeah, that's
and once
fantastic.
You get comfortable sort of with that approach, then move your way back to, let's say, 130 yards. So it's a neat way to introduce people to the game.
Yeah, it really is.
Michael, the process, your family, of course, involved in lots of these great golf courses. Do you see the land first yourself and maybe your partners, and then you get a hold of a guy like Crenshaw and his partner and say, what do you think? Is that because it takes, I think it's an artist who sees it at first and can see it with when it's wild state.
Yeah, we generally do see the property before the architect, although with that said, there's an architect that we're sending to a far-flung site in the next month who's going to scout it for us and tell us what he thinks. I think that it's an artist who, you know, creates these incredible holes and shapes them. We've done it enough where, you know, it's we could see a piece of ground and evaluate it for its, you know, golf merits. And it seemed like a big task if somebody hasn't done that 50 times, but you know, we've been very fortunate in that we've seen a lot of projects, pre-development, through development, you know, other people's projects. So and also, you know, we have the benefit of great topographic maps that we could study as well. So, you know, we can't claim too much credit in identifying a site is great. It's the artists and the genius of these architects that, you know, maximizes the full potential of a site. That's the hard part, and that's what these architects do so well.
And how did you discover the Sand Valley property? I mean, it's an incredible piece of property with elevation change and the rolliness of it. And
so it was discovered by a gentleman named Craig Haltom, who had lived at the home of golf in Scotland, outside Edinburgh, with Greg Ramsey, who we were associated with the Barnboogle Dunes in Tasmania. And they both came home to search for their dream golf site. So he spent many years looking for these sandy blowouts, and it was generally ATVers in Wisconsin who carved out these sandy blowouts and gave some indication or clue that there was sand underneath. If it weren't for the ATVers, Craig would have only seen the agricultural timber plantation, and there wouldn't have been any indication of sand. So he came across, I think it was pre-Google, but some aerial with what appeared to be a sandy blowout. And he was on a mission to find his dream site. So he that's how he identified the site. When he came to it in person, again, knowing that the site is purely sand, you know, within minutes, I'm sure he recognized that it had merit, and then he continued to explore it and determined that those great contours went on and on and on. So he reached out to us through Greg Ramsey, who I worked for in Tasmania, Australia, and my dad and I came up, and, you know, again, within a couple of minutes, you see that, I mean, you see and feel the contour just driving into the site. And then we spent a few months, I went up there for a few months and just explored it on foot to understand the extent of the topography. And just as he promised, the topography went on and on and on, and we're still exploring.
That's incredible.
The corners of the property.
So you've got more golf planned there, I understand. And tell us about that.
Yeah, Tom Doak was just up Friday, Saturday. We had a great walk in the sedge. We're planning a fourth golf course, 18-hole golf course, to be designed by Tom Doak. And if all goes well and financing comes through, we will start it in as early as April of next year. But we've begun, you know, flagging fairway lines and clearing lines where there still are trees. So that is, it's moving forward.
You know, one of the things that I admire about what you and your family have done so much is you're kind of disruptors in the game, and that you you don't necessarily have to, you don't follow all the rules. And from what I've read about the Doak course, it's going to be, is it par 68 or 9 planned?
Par 68, and it tips out at 6,000 yards. We hope it will be disruptive, and I think it will, because 99% of our golfers will play the golf course and have no idea that the par was 68 or 1,000. Right?
Sure.
And that's why it's disruptive, that you could have a fabulous golf course that's fun to play and challenging, and par, you know, within 5 or 6 strokes is really not relevant. 67 to 74, it's not relevant. And many of the world's greatest golf courses fit that mold. So Swinley Forest, Rye, West Sussex, these are all 6,000 yards courses.
Right.
The three of us played them. Just to be totally honest, when I walked off Swinley Forest, I had no idea it was 6,000 or the par was 68. It's just a fabulous golf course.
Yeah.
That's the reaction we want people to have of, is that was great. And not even think about the par, but just say that was really fun.
Sure, yeah.
And that's the way it should be. That's what we need more in the game of golf today. Your family has had, you know, there have been very few successful golf course developments in the last 20 years, but you guys kind of have the magic formula, I think. I think I've got all these. So you've done Bandon Dunes, you've done Cabot Cliffs in Nova Scotia, Sand Valley, Stream Song, Bamboogle Dunes and Lost Farms in Tasmania. What am I missing there?
Well, we haven't done Stream Song. A lot of people
give
us credit for that. We were that was the vision of Rich Mack, who developed that while he worked for Mosaic, which is a huge mining company, and they build it for environmental encapsulation and to keep jobs in the area. So we are friends with Rich, and he's been a wonderful, you know, neighbor and friendly competitor, and you know, we certainly share our thoughts, and as we encourage him to share his thoughts on our properties, but we're not partners and we didn't develop it. And he you know, with a great team, but he deserves full credit for that wonderful achievement. It's a great set of golf courses.
Michael, one of the sponsors of our show is Tito's Handmade Vodka and the amenities at your golf course. And one of our good friend of ours, Jeff Hilborn, works here for us, actually, is my boss. And he went out, his bucket list included Sand Valley. And another thing on his bucket list was Wisconsin Supper Club. So he played your place, and then he went to Wisconsin Supper Club just so he could, you know, have a cigar and have an old-fashioned kind of cool dinner.
I love hearing that. You know, it's, everything we do is about, you know, bringing a spotlight to the place. There has to be a sense of place, right? We don't want people to come to Sand Valley and say, I could have had this experience anywhere else on the planet. And one of the things that reinforces the place of Central Wisconsin are our supper clubs. So,
yeah,
you know, our guests ask for that a lot. Where would you recommend we go to experience a true, authentic supper club? The Dirty Oar is a mile and a half down the street. Colleen and Ed are the owner proprietors. Colleen was christened there when she was a little girl. and it's been in the community for a long time. And I encourage people to go experience it. Experience that, because I don't think they can do that anywhere else. It's really a neat thing to do.
Michael, one of the other things about Sand Valley that I didn't realize that was there until it was your tennis facility. I've never seen grass courts quite like those. So tell us about that.
You know, it was a fun little experiment. We said, you know, we got this driving range. It was before we opened. And I had some friends who were tennis players, so invited them up to a weekend of golf, backgammon, and grass court tennis. It was sort of at the end of the season, and it was just sort of a fun, playful thing to do. But people's reaction was overwhelmingly positive, right? Because none of us had ever played on grass before. It was really fun. And it turns out, once you have an incredible agronomy staff and own all the equipment, it takes very little to maintain a grass tennis court. Whereas if that was your only amenity, it could be very expensive. So we said, you know, let's try this and see if people take to it. And we built some courts, and people are really taking to it. It's fun. It's different. And tennis players, they love it, because generally a tennis court is a tennis court is a tennis court, right? So it becomes what surrounds the tennis court. Here, the actual court and experience is incredibly unique, and all of our courts are in these amphitheaters of sand, so we don't have formal fences to stop the ball. If you hit it too far, it just rolls into a sand dune.
No, that was very cool.
We've also encouraged our junior caddies. We've supplemented their rounds by giving them jobs as ball boys and ball girls. And as it turns out, it's really fun when you're just playing tennis, right? You don't have to spend 60% of the time running around chasing errant balls, which is at least what I do. I'm a lousy tennis player. So I spend most of the time at the net picking balls up. And when you have these nice, young, you know, local kids, you know, helping you with the game, and you just get to play, it makes it really enjoyable. And I think people are they're taking to that in big numbers. I just saw the numbers for this next week, and it blew my mind.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And it's nice. Yesterday, just walking around, just seeing people in tennis whites walking around the resort. It's neat. It's different, yeah. But it's working. And tennis players and golfers get along.
Very cool. So you're, you know, for our listeners, you're about 5 hours from Brainerd and about 3 to 3.5 from the Twin Cities. Tell us about the upcoming fall. How long will you be open, and you have availability? And
Yeah, we do have availability. You know, in between now and end of September, there are, you know, random days that have that has availability in the hotel. We are pretty close to full. The second half of September certainly starts to open up. And October, I think you and your listeners know, October golf in the Midwest is some of the best golf that exists.
No question.
Yes.
And our booking window in October is much, much shorter. So we have availability in October, and I'd recommend people come check it out, because it's just beautiful weather. The trees, you know, the oaks are turning, and it's a really fun time to be on the property.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I hope to get over before the snow flies again. But, Michael, we really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story, and we hope to see you again this fall.
Best way for people to book, Michael? Website, I suppose, something like that?
Yeah, go on the website. There's a number to reservations. We do all the reservations with a reservations agent to walk you through it and act as a concierge. So just call our number, and we have a team of people waiting to help.
Awesome. Great stuff, Michael.
Thanks a million, Michael.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It was really fun. I'll see you soon.
Michael Kaiser from Sand Valley and a whole lot of other cool golf courses around the world. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ.
It's Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ and streaming online at BrainerdRadio.net.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com and available now at Podcast One. Streaming brought your way by Mills GM and Mills Ford. Thanks to them for that. Have Chuck Letkatsky with us and Chris Foley, of course. And we want to talk about this CRMC Tour Showcase that's coming up here at Craigens. We're actually at Craigens before leagues on Thursday night tonight. So, Chuck, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, it's great to have you guys out here, and we're really looking forward to this this showcase event that's coming up in just a couple weeks now.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long since last year's event that was so greatly pulled together in a short amount of time, and just bigger and better things this year, and hopefully a step closer to having a what used to be the Web.com tour, now the Corn Ferry tour. Chuck, it's tell us about the week and the event.
Well, the biggest thing that has expanded this year is that instead of a one-day event, it's now going over the course of 4 days. So August 19th through the 22nd this year, we've just got a number of great events. Monday, there's fishing during the day. We've got a boat ride scheduled for our sponsors on the new Gull Lake Cruise boat out of Craigans. And then we've got the cloud stamping gala is Monday night, which is going to be a great time. We're going to have a pairings party for the people playing in the Pro-Am on Tuesday, and then the Chase and the Ovation, the Prince Tribute Band, is playing that night. So that's open to the public. People can buy tickets and come out and enjoy that.
General admission, $25 to come out and see the show, is that right?
Yeah, so we've got $25 tickets if you buy them in advance. You can buy them at the Legacy Golf Shop, you can buy them at Donlinger's, or you can buy them at the Hubbard Radio Station studio as well. So, yeah, people can get their tickets for that. And then we've got a VIP section for $75. You get some cocktails and some food and that kind of stuff. So a lot of options to enjoy that show. And that's going to be at Craigans Resort at the Sports Center.
Got these young pros coming from around the country. We got to show them Prince, don't we?
Right?
That's right.
Minnesota guy.
with a fishing tournament and Prince going to be here. It is very Minnesota.
That's a very Minnesotan day. And
yeah.
And then we're going to transition Tuesday into our Pro-Am. So there'll be a 1 o'clock shotgun start, five-player team. So our sponsors have... there'll be four amateurs and one of the golf professionals on a team, and that'll be a 1 o'clock event right on the tournament course. So it's going to be a great day. We've got a color guard, we've got a national anthem singer. Bud Chapman's going to be here to hit the ceremonial first tee shot again, and it'll just be a really fun day. And you know, it really works as a practice round for the pros too to see.
Sure, absolutely.
Course.
It's fun for the amateurs. I got to play in it last year. I was fortunate enough, and. You know, we all trudge to the blues or the whites, depending how good or old we are. And the young pros, they go back to the blacks where you can't see them. You just hear the tee shot come shooting out over your head, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, Matt McKinnon, our superintendent's got the golf course in really great shape. And really over the next 2 weeks, we'll be, you know, dialing that in even more. Increasing the speed of the greens just a touch, and so it should be a good challenge for the guys, and we're excited to see what they shoot. I mean, these are great players, so
yes,
there'll probably be some low numbers, Chris, right?
Well, you know, I think people, hopefully they'll come out and watch, and they will be very excited about the level of play, and you know, the difference between what you're seeing this week in the Northern Trust Open and what you'll see in a couple weeks at Craigans is really not as great as you would think. And there will be some players playing that, you know, in the next year or 2 years, we'll see playing in the FedEx Series here at the end of the season. So the level of play will be extremely high.
Yeah, and that's the exciting thing, too, about doing it locally here is that, you know, we've heard from different communities, you know, where these people come out and you watch these guys when they're early in their career, and later you see them on TV, and you know, you can have a personal relationship with them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There isn't, you know, it's more local.
And they're golf guys like you guys, and we've talked about it on the show a lot of times. So many guys in the golf world and the golf business are just good guys, and these young guys are all, you know, that some of them will end up in careers like you guys have, some of them will end up on tour, but they're just good guys. And I would think that, like the gala on Monday night, they'll be there, and they're very cordial, nice guys, good to talk to. They like to tell their story, and of course they're all dreaming of the PGA Tour, so that's fun, and opportunities to meet them on Pro-Am Day, and then come out and see them play some great golf. Day two, you think moving day be kind of a moved up to the second day, but that'll be interesting to see that when the guys have, you can get hot for a few holes and maybe have a good shot at winning a one-day tournament, but over 2 days, you better play some quality golf back-to-back, right?
Yeah, so on Wednesday the 21st and Thursday the 22nd will be the actual tournament round. So that'll be just the golf professionals playing. And we're not sure if they're going to go out in twosomes or threesomes, but it'll look a lot like a tour event. We've got live scoring. We've got two big scoreboards coming. We've got hospitality tents on the deck. D&D Beverage will be our preferred sponsor, preferred vendor on that kind of stuff. So there'll be, you know, there'll be a beer garden and a lot of food opportunities and whatnot. So it should be fun.
You know what I think, Chuck? You know, last year we were calling it a preview event, and you know, this year is really a preview of what could be if we have a Korn Ferry Tour event. And you know, it's very much like a week on the PGA Tour. All the events surrounding it, the gala and the fishing tournament, and then the pro-am, and then the actual event. And it's really going to be a, you know, kind of a exciting week in the Brainerd Lakes area. And the sponsorship, the community involvement of the businesses in the community has been tremendous.
Yeah, it's really great to have the support of so many different types of businesses, and it's just nice to pool the money, because again, ultimately, you know, we're trying to help raise money for charity, and Cuyuna Regional Medical Center to come on as the title sponsor, and Donlinger and Xcel Energy as well, Craigens Resort. I mean, everyone's been, you know, kind of pooling their money so that, again, we can give more back to charity working together than any of us would do individually. And, you know, along those same lines, there's no admission charge this week. We're just going to, you know, there's a ticket to the party. It's $25. But, you know, to come out and watch the golf and everything is just complimentary. So people can just park right in the Legacy parking lot, and we'll direct them out on the course and show them where the guys are and everything. So it should be fun.
And that party that night, is that's at the Legacy or that's at Craigens?
That's over at Craigens at the Sports Center. So, general admission tickets available in advance, or else you could buy them right at the door, too, if you want.
And better get them in advance. I think this thing's going to be sold out.
Yeah, well, they're cheaper in advance. So they're going up a little bit at the door. But the doors open to the public at 7 p.m. that night, and then the Prince band starts at 8 o'clock. So.
I thought last year the kickoff was fantastic and impressive, and I think the players really thought so, you know. And Ron Sanders, who's been heavily involved in getting the whole thing put together, was talking about the kind of the buzz among the players, what a great venue it is. And I asked the guys I was playing with and a few of the other pros, is this typical of a Korn Ferry event? And they said, it's better than most. So that's kind of nice to hear.
Absolutely.
Well, that's exciting, and that's, you know, being in the hospitality world, that's what you know, that's the type of show that we want to put on, so that, you know, in next year and in the years to come, that this one is early on their calendar, so that the guys, you know, look forward to it. And this year we've got our lodging partner is the Minnesota Hockey Camp, so a lot of the guys are going to stay up there and, you know, kind of experience that. But in the future, you know, we could see reaching out to our members or the local community here to have some host families and that kind of stuff. Because a lot of these guys are early in their career, and they are looking to save a few dollars. And if we can help that experience, and that only helps build the relationships.
Absolutely. Chuck, you know, we're just a week out or 10 days out, but are there still opportunities maybe to play in the Pro-Am or participate in other ways, volunteer, that type of thing?
Yeah, we've got a lot of volunteers, so a lot of those positions are full through Cuyuna Regional Medical Center and our Legacy members and things. We filled kind of a lot of those positions, but there's still sponsorship opportunities available. There are a few playing spots still available for the Tuesday Pro-Am. And then obviously, like we were talking earlier, the party is open to everybody. But they can stop into the Legacy and talk with us, or they can stop by Donlinger's headquarters. There is where the Tour Showcase headquarters are, and they can check out the website, BrainerdLakesTourShowcase.com. It's got a lot of good information on there too. So
Thursday we'll know the winner, of course, and you can exhale probably, Chuck, for about 5 minutes, and then it's August and September, so you don't get the day off or anything. You've got to be back here the next day.
The business has been good. We've been our leagues are leagues have a few weeks left and stuff, but it is interesting that it's coming up on mid-August.
Somebody on the top team got 2.5 points last week, and then we were no longer the top team after that score was posted. So we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so we won't mention anything.
Don't need to reveal that information.
Chuck, thanks for taking the time. Just great to make this attempt to get professional golf coming into Brainerd, and I think just taking another step forward this year.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's we look forward to having a lot of people out at the Legacy the week of August 19th through the 22nd.
And, of course, Tito's Handmade Vodka sponsors our 19th hole. I'm thinking a guy might be able to get a cool one that week, whether you're watching or playing.
I think that might be available.
Probably watching.
Thanks, Chuck.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com, thanks to our friends at Mills Ford and Mills GM, and also available now at Podcast One and wherever you can find podcasts. Just put in Lakes, Woods, and Irons, and we'll show up for you. Chris, FedEx playoffs now begin with Northern Trust. The Tiger's going to play, and a lot of the talk, of course, always revolves around Tiger and how will the body hold up? Because it's a little bit tighter schedule now, and they got to play 3 weeks in a row, and Tiger hasn't done that in a while.
No, and I would guess he'll play this week. He'll skip next week, and then he'll play in the Tour Championship. But we're taping Wednesday. Reports are he sure looked good Monday and Tuesday. Of course, if you think about it, they're playing in New York City. It's hot, humid there.
Yeah.
Compared to Port Rush, where it was cold and rainy and damp, this is much better for his body than playing, 55, 60 degrees in cold, damp weather. So hopefully we'll see a great week from Tiger this week.
Yeah, it's a course he likes too, from what I've read. So that's always a plus. And up at the top, as we get going here, it's kind of a they're almost re-explaining the new FedEx playoffs every week on Golf Channel, and with good reason. It's changed quite a bit, and how we crown an eventual champion is changing as well. Brooks Koepka right at the top. The points don't really matter. He's going to be in first, it looks like, for the next couple of weeks. Rory McIlroy, Matt Kuchar, Xander Schauffele, and Gary Woodland, the top five guys you've seen on the top of the leaderboard all season long. Even Cantlay, Dustin Johnson, Casey, Simpson. Nice to see Simpson back up there, Webb. And John Rahm, your top 10. And a lot of big names, of course, all over the top 25. But, you got to be really consistent. Matt Kuchar is a great example. He's had 8 top 10s this year. Rory's had 12 top 10s and 13 top 25s, and he's only played in 16. Everybody thinks Rory's not having that good a year.
He only won twice.
Didn't win a major. Won twice, and he's finished. He started 16 events and finished in the top 13 25 times. Yeah. Top 25 13 times.
Statistically, he's had a phenomenal year.
Yeah. And Koepka, of course, has. He's only got 8 top 10s, but he's played in 18 events, 11 top 25s, 8 top 10s, and 3 wins, including a FedEx and a major. So he's pretty good.
Not bad. Kind of ruined his legacy, though, winning a regular event, a non-major event.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be a lot of fun. It's a little bit of a complicated scoring system, but we'll get used to it, I think. Actually, I think from the player's point of view, it'll simplify things a little bit. For the fans, we'll just have to get used to it. I think what some of the players are resisting is that last tournament, basically the championship. You can't really win that tournament because if you're, say, 25th, just pick a number, because Koepka's 10 under when the tournament starts, or Rory, who's ever in first.
I'm not a fan. Maybe
I don't like that.
We'll find out in 3 weeks, but it's like a club event with its handicapped. It's a net.
Yeah,
we're playing in the net division.
Yeah, I don't get why they did it myself, but
I'm not sure it.
I think a lot of people remember Tiger won the $10 million, and Phil won $1 million for winning that last tournament.
Right,
and it was of interest for everybody because that's probably at that time the two golf's two favorite players, One guy wins the $10 million, the next guy wins the $1 million, and everybody's interested.
Yeah, it's it'll be interesting. I hope I feel different in a couple weeks, but to handicap it like there, I'm just not sure. You know, they've done the point reset before, which is a bit of a handicap, I guess. But for the, you know, for Koepka, I assume he'll still be in that position when the tour he starts off the event at 10 under. It'll be interesting.
So I was just before we went on, I had 41 the last Monday. Pretty solid. Had a pretty solid 18. 45 with a triple, and was feeling pretty good about the overall round. Then I have 41, best round I played in probably this year, maybe. Last five holes, I'm even. Birdied the 18th at Dutch's on not an easy hole.
It's good.
Yeah. So now, and then Thursday comes, league night, big night for Sheps. We're leading everything. And I go out there and lay an egg, and I can't hit a – my driver was okay. But my short game, Chris, it's an emergency situation. Can you help me?
Absolutely.
So just let me ask you a couple of simple tips out of the – because it's a decent second cut at Craigens for sure. And you get nestled down in there. And just getting the ball within 40 feet. Give me a tip.
Well, you know, when it's in the rough like that and sitting down, number one, you got to make sure you have enough loft. And whether that, you know, depending on the length of the shot, whether that's your sand wedge or your lob wedge or maybe your pitching wedge. But, you know, what happens in the rough is the grass grabs the club head and slows it down. And if we don't have a steep enough angle of attack into that, into the golf ball, we're likely to hit too much behind it and, you know, leave it short of the green or, you know, just not get it close enough to the green. So, you know, you want to make sure that you play the ball, you know, more towards the middle of your stance. You set up with more weight on your lead foot. So that'd be the left foot for the right-handed player. So, you know, 60 to 70% of your weight left, and really make sure you get that club down into the ground and into the golf ball. And you have to grip the club a little tighter so that the heel of the club doesn't catch and turn the club face over.
Sure wish you'd been on my bag on Thursday night. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks to our guests, Michael Kaiser and Matt Chuckletkatsky this week. Appreciate those guys joining us. You've been listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on The Fan.